Okay, tonight is Monday, January 6th, or Vav Tevet, Vav Shvat. This is the Gemara Shir up to Daf Nun Hey Amid Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. Last time we had seen the Gemara, which identified what are the songs for each of the days of Chol HaMoed. And today, we're going to actually see how Rashi interprets the selection of each perek of Tehillim, why that is appropriate for Chol HaMoed Sukkos. And we'll see, and occasionally there are those who have other perspectives aside from Rashi. Let's get my notes on. So the Gemara had said, in the middle of the page, the Od Tanya, this is actually a series of questions against Rav Acha. Rav Acha had said that they, in the Mikdash, they would blow for every single Musaf, and the Gemara is now piling on, without getting a flag, piling on, question after question, against Rav Acha, and the Gemara will eventually say, okay, Rav Acha is rejected. So this is another one. The O Tanya, Becholo Shel Moed, everybody in the middle of the page, on Nun Hei Amid Aleph, Barishon Mahayomim, Havu Lashem B'nei Elim, V'sheni, so on and so forth. So it quotes all of the Prakim of Tehillim, which will be recited on the days of Chol HaMoed. So we're going to follow Rashi as to why you take each particular paragraph. So we're starting with the page, which is Perek Chavtet. Perek Chavtet of Tehillim. A very famous passage, paragraph. We say this on Shabbos a couple of times. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi is about a third of the way down on the top. Barishon. So number one, Rashi says, Barishon. Biyom Arishon de Cholo Shemoed. Interestingly enough, this Brisa, and we'll make a note of it later, does not tell us what you sing on the first day of Sukkos. It doesn't tell you what you sing on the last day of Sukkos, Shmini Atzeres. It only deals with the 7 days of Chol HaMoed. The 6 days of Chol HaMoed. That's it. It's a little unusual that the Braisa, which highlights the particular song for Sukkos, would only identify what the song is for Chol HaMoed and not the song for the 2 days of Yom Tov. But anyhow, that's what it says. Omrim Havu Lashem. Says Rashi, Kol HaMizmor Al Shem Shahayom Tchilat Simchat Beit HaShoeva. This entire paragraph is sung in honor of the fact that the first day of Chol HaMoed is the beginning of Simchat Beit HaShoeva. The Hainu Kavod Va'oz. Kavod Va'oz. So one of the phrases in this particular paragraph, in the first pasuk, is Havu LaShem Kavod va'oz, give God honor and strength, and that takes place. Ubeoto mizmar kol Hashem al hamayim, al shem nisach hamayim. We say the sound of God associated with water. That is a reference to the nisach hamayim, and as a result, the first day of Sukkot of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, which is the first day of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, because Simchas Beis HaShoeva is not doicha Yom Tov, only Chol HaMoed. So therefore, this paragraph has two things which somehow make it appropriate. There is enormous honor given to God, and there's a reference of Kol Hashem Al Hamayim. Okay, fine. Next. Next. Yom Sheni, says the Gemara, you say, Ula Rasha Omar Elohim. So this is chapter 50. Turn to the next page, on the back of this page. Chapter 50. Now again, I wanted to save a tree, so I saved the first pasuk, the half of the first pasuk from chapter, the beginning of chapter 50, because it's not really relevant anyhow to this discussion, and I saved the tree. So, in the middle of the paragraph, in verse 16, Tezayin, it says, Ulurasha, Ulurasha, Amar Elohim, Malicha Lisaper Chukoi, Vatisa Barisi Ale Picha. So this paragraph is identified by this particular pasuk. That's what the Gemara identifies it. This particular pasuk, verse 16, is what the Gemara quotes. We should read this paragraph. Let's take a look at Rashi. Why? Says Rashi, Ula Rasha Omar, Kol Hamizmor, this entire psalm, Divrei Kvushin Hein L'Ne'esofim L'Azara L'Mitzchat HaChag U'Smeichim Simchat HaChag. This entire paragraph deals with words of almost rebuke that would be recited or told to the people who came to be mekayim the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, and specifically those who came to fulfill the mitzvah of Simchat Beit HaShoeva. U'molchikam, we give them tolcheikot, we give them musar, we give them rebuke. What do we say? Ma lecha l'saper chukai, kilomar. Lama lecha lavo l'bayit zeh. Why'd you come to this house? Im sha'ar ami, with the rest of my nation. Im eincha chozer b'tshuva. If you're not going to do tshuva, if you're not going to repent, why bother showing up in the first place? Why bother? Ube'oto mizmar, and in this mizmar, ksiv, Zevach Lelohim Toda. It says in the last pasuk. But what? It says in Yudalit, and also in the last pasuk in Yudalit, it says Zvach Lelohim Toda, sacrifice to God a korban toda, v'shalem le'elyon nidorecha, and pay all of your vows, pay them up today. Al shechag hasukos zman bal ta'acher hu l'shalosh regalim kisidran. So here Rashi says two things. Number one, that you offer a korban toda. Don't forget, on the other chagim, when there's a mitzvah aliyah l'regel, you cannot bring a korban toda. You cannot bring a korban toda on Pesach all Yom Tov, because there are 10 loaves of chametz in a korban toda. That's why we skip mizmor l'soda on Chol HaMoed Pesach, because you're not allowed to bring a korban toda on Pesach. Shavuos is only a one-day yontif, and there's no Chol HaMoed. And the halacha is that a korban toda is a personal korban; it's not doicha yontif. You're not allowed to bring personal darim on Yom Tov, only after Yom Tov. So on the three chagim, during which one is obligated to come to the Beit HaMikdash to be mekayim the mitzvah aliyah l'regel, only one of them has the opportunity of bringing a korban toda. And this is something which we ought to recognize, that when God is good to us, we should say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this particular paragraph happens to mention Zvach El Elohim Toda, slaughter unto God a korban toda. Therefore it fits in perfectly with the Yom Tov of Sukkos, because there are no other chagim for which you're obligated to make Aliyah L'Regel, during which you would have the opportunity of bringing a korban toda on the Yom Tov itself. Only Chol HaMoed Sukkos. That's point number one. Point number two, says Rashi, the end of that pasuk says, V'shalem le'elyon nidorecha, and pay to the one above all of your promises. This the Torah states repeatedly, that whenever the Torah describes that you're obligated to come to the Mikdash, for example, in Parshas Emor, after listing all of the Yamim Tovim, the Torah writes, Milvad, Nidvoseichem, Vinidreichem, and so on and so forth. Besides that which I'm obligating you to bring, a korban for the Yom Tov, I want to remind you, bring all of your Nidarim. Because the guy didn't come to Yerushalayim, Yedemutik and Danishtik. You know, it was a heck of a trip for most people. So whenever you made a neder, a vow to give something to as a korban, now is the time to fulfill it. Even more so, the Yom Tov of Sukkos, because of the halach of Baal Ta'acher. There is a three-way machlokis. When you violate the prohibition for having delayed to fulfill a vow, lo te'acher l'shalmo, three-way machlokis. One opinion is that you violate the lav as soon as the first Yom Tov passes by. So if you made a neder now, Rosh Chodesh, in the month of Shvat, you will violate the law of Lo Te'acher if you come to Beit HaMikdash on Pesach and don't bring the korban, you violated the law. A second opinion is that you only violate the law after the yantav three yomim tovim. Three yomim tovim have to pass by. So in this case, it would be Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. That's one opinion. Then there is a third opinion that has to be the yantav of Sukkot and in order. So if I made a neder after Pesach, you will not violate the law until when? Until a year from this Sukkot. Because you have to go through a cycle in order. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. You will have had five opportunities to fulfill your neder. And then only you will violate the law. So Sukkot is a critical time because that might trigger the prohibition of Lo Te'acher, thou shalt not delay in the payment. As a result, read this paragraph, because this particular paragraph, when the Levim sing this paragraph, it will remind everybody to pay up the Nidarim and to bring a Korban Todah. That's how Rashi understands this. Rashi understands this.
On Shavuos, we can bring the Shamei Chagiga 6 days after, right?
Shamei Chagiga, that's correct.
You can
bring Korban Todah, but it's not on Yontif. That's correct. It's not on Yontif. Right. The Marsha offers a different interpretation as to why this particular perek was selected, because it says in this perek, Lo ekach par mi beischa. There it is. Pasuk tet. Says the Marsha, this is a reference, there's a different reference in this particular pasuk. We know that on the Yontif of Sukkot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts korbanot from all of the 70 nations. That's why there are 70 parim that are brought during the 7 days, beginning with the first day, 13 bulls, and in a descending order to 7 bulls on the last day. Shmini Atzeres is Parechad. The Parechad is symbolic of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael. So, says the Pasuk, Lo ekach mi beischa par mi michlosecha atudim. I'm not going to take the par, which represents Am Yisrael, if what? If you're not going to be good people. If you're not going to be good people, if you're going to be over Avera, I'm not going to accept this par. So the reason why this particular paragraph has been selected, says the Marsha, is based on the fact that the Am Yisrael is only going to be taken if you express your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a result of the fact that you engage in his mitzvot. So he ignores Rashi and decides to offer that interpretation.
Why would that be the second day of?
What?
Why would that be the second day of?
It's not. It's right. Then there's nothing unique about the second day. Correct.
Also,
no doubt.
Rashi's explanation is not unique either. The second day.
Right.
It's not unique to Sukkot.
Right.
What is the Russia and this thing about this tochacha? What is it? Where is it?
Because they're coming. Okay, I'll tell you why. Because historically, it's 100% accurate. During the entire first Beis Hamikdash, Am Yisrael were incredibly devoted to the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel. Incredibly devoted. And what did they do the rest of the year? They went and worshipped Abba Avodah Zarah. They believed that if you come to the Mikdash and offer your korbanot during the 3 times a year, everything is forgiven. So it's historically accurate that Am Yisrael need Musar when they come to the Mikdash. They do. Because it was a phony job. There was no sincerity, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he says it sharper in other Zevach Rishaim Toeva. The korban offered by a Rasha is considered nothing but an abomination. But this was highly characteristic of Am Yisrael's behavior during the first Beit HaMikdash. Worship of Avodah Zarah, engage in all types of inappropriate activities, but come to the Mikdash, Shalosh Regalim, and offer your korbanos. So therefore it is, from a historical point, it's highly accurate. Highly accurate. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. The third day, Bishlishi Omrim, Mi Yakum Li Imreim. So turn the page, flip the page. And this is Perek Tzadik Dalid, which we say every Wednesday morning. Pasuk Tet Zayin. Let's see how Rashi interprets this. Miyakum li imreim, says Rashi. Ubino borarim b'mizmor echad heim. On the fourth day, they say bino borarim, which is also in this paragraph. So Rashi's going to explain it. B'mizmor echad heim. Mukdam. In fact, it's even recorded a little earlier. The phrase "Bino Boarim Baram" precedes the pasuk which he is quoting here. Umi Yakum Li Meuchar, Vehem Makdimin Esham Uchar, and they advance the third day. They say that which is later in the text. Yeah.
They didn't say the whole paragraph.
Oh, so that's the question. That's what the question. Did they say the whole paragraph or not? This would certainly indicate they did not say the whole paragraph. So this is pasuk. Pasuk. Right, Ches and Tezayin. So Tezayin is Miyakum Liyam. That they said on the third day, and on the fourth day they started pasuk Ches Binu Bo Armbram. So let's see how Rashi interprets this. V'nira be'enai, m'nei she'parshas mi'yakum li, midaberet al tsarusan, shehayu mishubadim b'bayis sheni, tachas malchei paras u'malchei yavan, u'malchei romei. This particular paragraph claims Rashi is a vision, not to the first Beit HaMikdash, but to the second Beit HaMikdash. During the second Beit HaMikdash time, we were not politically autonomous as we were during the first Beit HaMikdash. We were indebted to Paras, the king of Persia, who in effect gave us the license to build the Beit HaMikdash, and then subsequently to the Romans. V'afal pikein, ein nimna'im milismolach simchas malkam u'mispalalim. Nonetheless, despite the fact that they were under the control of foreign entities, they did not hesitate to come to the Mikdash and celebrate with their king, namely God. U'mispalalim, and they pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi yakum lanu lahatzilenu min hamireim ha'ele. Lule Hashem Ezra Sali Kimat Shachna Duma Nafshi Imamarti Mataragli Sarapai Bikibi Tanchumech Yishashu Kilomar Aflufit Sarosenu Ein Anu Nimnoim Ilavo Lihishtame Shtashea Bitchumecha At Sofa Mizmar. What are you saying? They're saying here that despite the fact that we are under control, we nonetheless come to the Mikdash. And they say, Miyakum, who will help us under these circumstances? Miyit Yatsev Liim Poele Oven. Who will stand up for us against those who do wrong? Who are those who are doing wrong? Those who rule us. So no one's going to help us. Lule Hashem is Rasalif. Not for God, I have to succumb to the powers of Paras and Rome. So that's why this was recited by Yom Shlishi. Yom Shlishi. Ulamachar el b'yom revi'i, says Rashi, binu bo'arim ba'am. B'mnei sha'achshav zman matnos aniyim. Shehu zman asif Zman leket shikha upeya umasa ani ukishemagiim yamim achronim shein kroven lifrosh v'lashuv lebateim korin lifnehem lahochicham shia asru kiraui. So he says that's why they read this particular paragraph. What does it say? Binu boarim ba'am uchsilim masai taskilu. How does this refer to Masros? From the mitzvah of Biur Ma'asrot. There is a halacha that when you are Mafresh Trumas and Maisres, you are allowed to hold on to each year's without giving it away initially. So when I give Truma, I can just set it aside in order to remove the Iser Tevel from my grain. I'm not allowed to eat the grain until I'm Mafresh Truma. But I don't have to give it to run to a Kohen yet. Same thing Masa Sheni. Masa Sheni I set aside, but I don't have to run to Yerushalayim right away. Same thing with Masarani. 10% I set aside, I don't have to give it to an Ani. Every 3 years, during the Yontif of Sukkot, there is a mitzvah of what? Biur Masros. Get rid of all the Masrot. So Binu Boarim Ba'am claims Rashi is a reference, an announcement. Look, folks, you're going home now. Better take care of what? All of your Ma'asrot, you better take care of it. Give the Truma to Kohen, Masarishan to the Levi, Masasheni in Yerushalayim, and so on and so forth. That's why they read this on the fourth day. On the fourth day. Claims Rashi. Yeah. Then the next thing they read, Bachamishi Mahayomrim Hasirosi Misevel Shechma. So turn the page. And this is chapter. Where is it? Perak Pei Aleph. This is the Shir of Yom Chamishi. The regular Thursday morning Shir Shel Yom. So it says there in Pasuk Zayin, Hasirosi Meisever Shechmo Kapov Miduta Avona. How does Rashi interpret this? Let's read the Rashi. Divrei Tanchumin Hein. Im Tisku Batsara Karasa Va'achal Tzelcha E'encha B'seiser Ra'am Evchancha Amei Meriva. Al hamayim shenidonin aleihen b'chag, lefi ma she'ani bochencha efsok lecha al shem shemispalin al agshamim utzrichim lehem. Uksiv b'mizmor zeh anochi Hashem alokecha malchim harchapich v'amaleu she'eshlach lechem bracha v'sof hamizmor v'yachilei mechelech chito mitzudavash asbiyeka. So there are a couple of things, says Rashi, that's happening here. Number one is that this is a warning for those who are here to pray for rain.
What?
What
does Tanchumin mean?
Consolation. That's what technically it means. Divrei Tanchumin.
Nechama.
Namely, Im Tizku Batsara Karasa V'Achal Tzelcha Encha B'Seisaram. If you will be privileged to do what? To get out of a crisis situation. Batsara karasa. You will call me at a time of crisis. What crisis am I referring to, perhaps? Drought.
Drought.
Which was a terrible crisis. So if you will call to me and I will answer you, you will be privileged to have been answered. And what will I grant you? Adequate rainfall. How do I know this is going to be adequate rainfall? Because at the end it says, Vayachileyu mechelev chita. You will be able to eat from the fat of the wheat. Well, how's the fat of the wheat going to be growing? Only because there was abundant rainfall. So since the Yontif of Sukkot is a judgment on rain, it's one of the days, it's the day of the Yontif when HaKadosh Baruch Hu issues his judgment for rain. As a result, this particular paragraph was selected because it makes reference to the Mayim This is the appropriate time to make reference to the bakasha for mayim on the yontav of Sukkos. That's what Rashi says.
Could we infer from all of this that the Gemara quotes these sukkim that you don't necessarily say the whole mitzvah is
dark? No doubt about it. No doubt about it. It's not only infer. Otherwise, if you said the whole paragraph, the whole thing would make no sense. Make no sense. That's the way Rashi learns. They started from this particular line and read till the end. Read till the end. And in fact, this particular shir happens to be the shir of Rosh Hashanah as well. And it happens to be the shir of Yom Chamishi.
But then we say the whole mitzvah.
Ah! So that, it's exactly why some say, Rashi says, they deliberately on Sukkot did not say the whole thing. In order to distinguish it from what? From an ordinary Thursday and from Rosh Hashanah, which may have preceded it by 2 weeks. That there they read it, they read on Rosh Hashanah, they undoubtedly read the whole thing. Because the top of the thing says, Tikku b'chodesh shofar b'keseliyam chageinu, so therefore they undoubtedly did read the whole thing on Rosh Hashanah. In order to distinguish the two, they decided not to to read it on Sukkot, to make a distinction between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. So therefore that confirms Rashi's interpretation that it would be better not to read the whole paragraph and only literally follow what the Gemara says. Literally follow what the Gemara says. However, the Aruch Laner says he just says what I just said. He's the one who explains that's why they had to read only partial to distinguish between a regular Thursday and and Rosh Hashanah, which they read this entire paragraph. Then there is Bashishi Mahayu Omrim Yimotu Kol Mostei Haaretz. That's Perek Pei Beis. That's the next page, the last page. Right afterwards. This is the shir of Yom Shlishi. This regular Tuesday morning shir. Pasuk Hei says, Yimotu Kol Mostei Aretz. All of the foundations of the world are going to collapse. Says Rashi, what does this mean? Let's take a look at Rashi now. Imotu kolos le'aret. B'mizmar Elohim nitzav ba'daseil v'omrim kol ha'mizmar. Here they say the whole thing. Al shem shekasuv bo oni v'rosh hatzdiku elu masros shekachu nidrush b'chulin tzadek mishelcha v'tein lo. This too is also a reference to Masros, because it says in what pasuk is that Ani Barashat Siku pasuk Gimel Shiftu Dalvi Yasom Ani Barashat Siku. Make sure that the poor and the impoverished are right, are taken care of. How do you take care of the Ani and the impoverished? By giving your Masros. So therefore, this is a pasuk for that. And then the paragraph continues. Lo yadu v'lo yavinu, mishenei no sin libo lehavin lekach b'chashecha yisalachu zumisa. Anybody who does not follow this lesson, he's going to suffer that which the pasuk says in the next pasuk, in pasuk hey. Lo yadu v'lo yavinu. People who don't understand this message that you're supposed to support the impoverished, b'chashecha yisalachu. They're walking in the dark. They're going to die. They're going to die. Kiddusnan, as the Mishnah says in Maseches Avos, Ba'abor prokim hadevim misrabeh, plagues break out, b'matzoy achag, shebechol shonav, ne gezel matanos aniyim, v'goreim klalo yolam, v'rei avon, sheyimotu kolaf se'aretz. That'll bring about a destruction of the entire world when God curses all of these people who have failed to give their trumas and masros. Now, other Rishonim interpret this last day differently. The Ritva says, very strangely, Yimotu Komes De'aretz is a remez that the world is coming to an end after the Elef Hashishit. After the Elef Hashishit, which we're in right now. We don't have much time left. We're in 5,774, so we have about another 226 years to live. That's it. Then the world's going to collapse. That's what the Ritva says. Even though we understand it a little differently, that at the end of the 6,000, whether Am Yisrael are ready for Mashiach or not, that's when Mashiach is going to come. But he says it's a remez that the world's going to self-destruct. So, in case you want to go on those predictions, when the world will think, you have a Ritva to bank on 226 years from Rosh Hashanah. The Meiri says we read this particular paragraph not for this reason at all. Why do we read this paragraph? Because it says at the beginning of the paragraph, Elohim nitzav adas el. God is judging. What is he judging? He's judging how much water you give. Therefore, you read this paragraph on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Nothing to do with people getting killed, nothing to do with the world coming to an end, but rather because of the mitzvah of, because of the judgment of water. So we read a parak of Elohim Nitzav Ba'adas El.
Where does this Masorah originate from that Gemara is quoted? This is.
It's a Braisa.
It
says Tanya. It's a Braisa. Yeah.
The assumption that it goes all the way back to Sinai?
I'm not sure how far it goes back. I don't know. I can't tell you that. But it's if it's a Braisa, it's already, an established tradition. No doubt. No doubt.